The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. We're open line on Man in Line today, Monday, the first Monday of November 2025. Oh, news of the boat, by the way. The boat got into Heysham about 20 to midday and we'll be leaving at 1:45, back tonight at 5:30. So work to strengthen the Isle of Man's economy isn't going to work if one area of government's going forward while the rest is being left behind. That's the Chamber of Commerce. They urge government to have a coordinated approach to economic strategy. The economic strategy was published in July 2022, included a commitment to grow the population to 100,000 by 2037. So we have 12 years, creating 5,000 new jobs and generating £200 million of additional annual income to reinvest in services and improve the quality of life for all Isle of Man residents. This is the main thrust of the economic strategy, up to 100,000 on the Isle of Man and 5,000 new jobs, £200 million of annual additional income to fund everything. That's a bold project, and I wonder what your thoughts are regarding that. The Chamber of Commerce are slightly cautious where that's concerned, but anything else that's on your mind, by all means, don't go near any promenades, for heaven's sake, today, or you may get swept asunder. Betty's on with us first today. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andrew. I've just got one sentence really to say.
Yeah.
I think a greater minimum wage is really lovely. But what's the use of a higher minimum wage if the business is closed and you can't get a job?
Well, that's their point of view at the moment. Their point of view is that if the charges are going to go up for staff, then either they may have to just lose a member of staff because they can't afford it, or B, they may just wrap up and go away and close the door. So they don't seem to be 100% behind it.
Well, I can't see it, really. I think everybody should have a wage that they can live on and enjoy life. But if the businesses are closed and there aren't any jobs to go to, the people will have to go on benefits, so the government won't benefit at all.
Well, some people can afford it. Let's face it, there are big financial institutions along Athol Street and in Victoria Street which can afford it, and I don't know how many of their staff are on minimum wage anyway. So, and there are some generous benefits that go on within that. And also there's the public sector as well. The public sector may have some minimum wage people, and of course that will ratchet that up and somebody has to pay for that. So in the end, it's all got to be paid for. I mean, the bottom line is, Betty, it's all about money. The economy isn't doing as well as it used to do. It's doing kind of okay, but, the economic tide's gone out and we can see what's on the beach. So that's it. Now, nobody wants to be the first to put, to put wages up.
I understand that, but I'm thinking of the small businesses, really. I mean, nothing to do with business. I haven't got a business at all. But if they can't afford it, they will either put, or they might even do both, put prices up and cut staffing down.
This is the government. I mean, this is a government initiative. What they're saying is that we need to put more money into the lower paid's pocket. Now, at the same time, they haven't put up the tax threshold, so some people will end up just paying more in tax.
Of course.
Jolly good.
I quite agree. Okay.
Good to hear. Oh, that's a lovely clock, by the way. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Okay, let's go to Peter's with us now. Peter, hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Murcott here. As you may know, that the report of the committee that investigated the question of the bishop's vote in Tynwald has actually it's going to be discussed tomorrow in the Legislative Council.
Right.
And I've read the report, and it makes interesting reading. The first point that surprised me, rather, is that it doesn't make any recommendations, which they must have had their own reasons, but I found that a bit surprising. Just for historical purposes, the committee that has examined this question was actually set up, I think, in June 2024, and so it's been the subject has been very well considered. Bishop's vote, it seems, goes back at least to the year 1614. One of the interesting things that have emerged over and above the other points that have been well rehearsed in the past is that there are some people who suggest that almost having the bishop there and a vote can almost alter legislative history by his vote. That doesn't bear out some very interesting research that's been engaged upon. And I might just add anyway, the bishop isn't the only unelected person in the Legislative Council at the moment. The research was this, that between 1966 and 2001, there were 41 occasions in Tynwald where the LegCo was divided. As you know, they won't be completely split down the middle because it'll be 5-4. But there were 41 occasions when there was a 5-4 vote regarding secondary legislation that was going through Tynwald. On 32 of those 41 occasions, the bishop was with the majority, the five, in favour of the motion that was probably before the Keys. Only 9 occasions was he against. Now, you need to see those figures in context, that there are dozens of orders that go through Tynwald's sitting, every single sitting. So 41 occasions between 1966 and 2001, when there was a split vote, is really just a fraction of a very large number of votes that were taken. Similarly, between 2016 and 2023, there were 7 occasions when there was a 5-4 vote in the Legislative Council, which actually went in favour of a 5-4 vote, which concerned whether they were going to support the House of Keys. Now, on 6 occasions, the 5-4 vote went in the Keys' favour, and the bishop was part of that vote. There was only one occasion when the bishop wasn't. And so, really, that disposes of this notion that here you've got an unelected person who might be holding up the course of history and the keys and all that sort of silly nonsense that's been taught, because the statistics disprove that completely. And of course, anyway, it would only arise where the bishop's vote would become significant. Usually is only where they're in Tynwald. When you come to the House of Keys, I'm not aware of any occasion where the bishop has been the decisive one in a bill not going through the Legislative Council. The only time when a bill was rejected by LegCo was, I think, in 2016 or 2017, one of those two dates. It was when they were voting on whether LegCo should no longer partake in the voting of the Chief Minister. And on that occasion, I believe the vote against the bill was unanimous, and the bill was delayed for a year. So again, you can't, whichever way the bishop would have voted, it wouldn't have made any difference. So what I'm saying is that this report is very, very interesting on that one. It completely disposes of this argument that the bishop's vote is somehow extraordinarily crucial and could be used to thwart the will of the keys. It doesn't stand up, thank goodness, to objective analysis.
Do you draw any conclusions from the fact that no recommendations are made? I mean, Laurie Hooper, I mean, the man who started all this, said he thought it was, quote, very interesting that they hadn't made any recommendations.
Well, actually, to that extent, I would agree with Laurie Hooper. I do find it interesting that they haven't. I don't know why, because I haven't spoken with anybody in connection with this. I really don't. There is one. There's an amendment, I believe, to the Constitution Bill tomorrow, and it really doesn't take us any much further. The amendment, if I have read it correctly, says this, that the bill which would take away the bishop's vote, the actual coming into force of the bill would be delayed during the present bishop's tenure. Now, that really doesn't answer the point that the Diocese of York is making, that one of a sort of key consideration of retaining the distinctive Diocese of Soder and Man has been the fact that the bishop has got a vote. Now, if you put through a vote that's saying, oh yes, well, the bishop can keep the vote for the present bishop, but they won't have the vote in the future, that doesn't really answer Soder and the diocese's, the archdiocese's concern, because that simply means that it's more likely then that when the present bishop retires or goes to another bishopric or whatever, that would mean that the diocese, the archdiocese, would probably have considerable reservations about replacing the bishop. Now, that will have an ongoing effect, because I very much doubt whether they're going to fly bishops in the future to simply sit in Tynwald but not have a vote. And it also may well call into question what they're going to do on Tynwald Day. And I think the bottom line is on all this is, first of all, it was a totally unnecessary issue when there's so many important issues that are at stake. And the second thing is, and I think Bill Henderson spotted this one, that once you start unravelling part of the Manx Constitution, then you don't know where it's all going to end up. And I do think that it will have an effect. If they go ahead and abolish the bishop's vote, I can foresee that it's going to have an unexpected effect, and it won't be to the benefit of the Isle of Man. So that's the situation.
I mean, this is obviously, this divides opinion, and I'm just wondering, and we've had many messages in of people who profess to have no religion, don't understand it, don't agree with it, and just think it shouldn't happen. Do you think this is almost a proxy argument for the position of the church within Tynwald and politics?
I think that you, when you have had a long-standing arrangement that has worked well and where the arguments against it just do not stand up, you've got to have a long, hard think. And after all, as was pointed out in this debate, the question has kept on coming up and coming up and coming up. And quite frankly, I think it's been blown out of all proportion. And the arguments on the other side are, as I have just said, you will find some unexpected and unhappy consequences to the Manx Constitution for no good reason. And so I think that I think the matter's been well aired. There are so many important issues that the legislature should be tackling, and I don't think this is one of them.
OK, all right. We appreciate it, yep. Peter. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
21 minutes past 12. Phil dropped a note in regarding wind farms. He said, regarding Eddie's comments about wind farms and no dredging inside them, seems to make sense. Obviously, there may be undersea cables. This is the fact that between wind turbines at sea, you won't be able to fish, or there will be no commercial fishing, just rod and line fishing. I mean, that can still happen, and that can still be quite substantial, but not anywhere near as dredging or trawling. Surely these restrictions and limitations will increase fishing potential, as the wind farms are like protected areas where the fish can thrive and multiply. And then they'll spread out to the rest of the seas to increase catches for fishermen. Thank you, Philip. Well, that's a good idea. We don't know because it's not happened yet, but it will be interesting to see that if the large wind farm goes up off the east coast of the Isle of Man, and certainly there are some quite rich fishing grounds in and around that, as to what might happen in the future. What's less known, widely known about the bishop's vote is just how far back it goes, says another texter, before the modern parliament even took place. A long way away. Back to the phone lines, and Julian on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Well, I'm a bit concerned about this weather. It's a bit extreme.
Well, yeah, although I suppose you could say, I mean, it's still warm, isn't it? So, you know,
it is very mild. Yes, it is very mild.
So that means the heating bills will be a bit less. Let's, with all this minimum wage thing, it's a shame we can't attack this from the other side and lower the electricity price in line with the lower gas price and get the steam packet cheaper so that, everything can trickle down and then, you know, people will be better off without having to tax everyone, from my perspective. I'd just like to start off by thanking Dr. David Quirk, who said on a recent Man in Line that Manx residents are one of the worst polluters per capita in the world. When he said that, it got me thinking. So I looked into it and found a somewhat surprising answer to this. So it turns out that we're not one of the worst. In fact, we're one of the best, least polluting nations on Earth. But the way the island is being portrayed as bad is through the use of what I can see as two sleight-of-hand accounting tricks. The first one I mentioned to you a while ago, and that is using 2018 as our pollution start date, or otherwise known as the baseline, unlike the UK and Europe, who start out at 1990. So we're effectively ignoring all the improvements to our electricity generation from the gas turbine in 2003 and all the agricultural efficiencies that have been improving, not forgetting the new ETHER report that corrects the catastrophically inaccurate Curran report, which was 20 times higher than our true emissions, despite increasing the population by 15,000 at the same time. But it's the second sleight of hand that he got me onto. So the Isle of Man uses full per capita reporting of greenhouse gases, so that's CO2, methane, nitrous oxide and fluorinated gases. And we also report our electrical exports, which I've mentioned before, and all the emissions from transport in our territory. That's including aircraft and shipping.
Right.
But guess what, Andy? All the other countries, including Denmark, only report CO2, not their agricultural or oil and gas methane emissions, or their transport emissions, or their exports in their per capita figures.
Where can you get the figures, Julian?
Yeah, so if you look at the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Global Carbon Project, you'll see that this is true. So if Denmark used our full scope reporting, they'd be over 100% worse emitters per head than us, especially considering Denmark's recently updated and opened Tyra 2 offshore oil and gas field, which is forecast to produce 60,000 barrels of oil a day and 2.8 billion cubic meters of gas per year.
So they're drilling off Denmark for what? Gas and oil?
And oil. So the main problem is the Isle of Man, and to a degree the UK, are reporting three different types of metrics within the per capita figures: territorial, residence, and consumption. But everyone else is just doing territorial. So things like the fact that if you look back, say, since 2018, the Isle of Man has used over 2 million litres of diesel and 57 million therms of gas for electrical exports to the UK. And that's included in our in our ITER report for our thing. But it's,
right.
But that is not included for people doing this in Europe. Or even China doesn't have to do this in-depth reporting.
So I wonder why we're doing it then.
Well, this is the point. We are basically committing an act of self-harm when you consider that all the other countries are on a different, much lower playing field when they're reporting their emissions compared to us per capita. And it just makes me wonder if that's why Kroger Gas was resisted. As with our reporting, unlike all the other jurisdictions, it would have made our emissions paperwork look bad.
So drawing from what you're saying then, that if we stopped exporting electricity, we could actually cut our greenhouse gas emissions, if we stopped producing electricity merely for export.
That's right. Because the power stations and the diesel generators wouldn't be being used for that purpose. It would only be for what we use,
right,
or consume. This is where this consumption figure is only being used in Denmark and Norway. And if Denmark and Norway, I mean, if they were subject to the same reporting stringency that we have on the island,
right,
their figures, they'd be more than double our per capita figures.
Well,
so
I wonder who's decided that we should reveal all that and other people don't. I wonder who on the Isle of Man's decided we'll supply those figures.
Well, this is a question that I think needs to be asked in Tynwald, I think.
Okay.
However, I do see a solution. There's an FOI from the Cabinet Office. That FOI number is 469969. That was published in July, but it refers to the meeting of the Council of Ministers in December of 22 regarding the extension of the ratification of the Paris Climate Agreement to the Isle of Man when we were sort of tacked on to the UK. And the DEFA minister stated, and I quote, "The Isle of Man can withdraw should the agreement no longer be suitable." So we can withdraw with no penalties if we want to.
Right. Okay. So just tell me again, where did you get the figures from? World Economic Forum?
No. World Bank.
World Bank, yeah.
The IMF, International Monetary Fund.
Yeah.
And the Global Carbon Project.
Global.
And also, if you look through Our World in Data, you will notice that all the pollution metrics are only CO2. You can also do an internet search, and you'll find that I'm right on this. So all the methane agricultural stuff that we have to report, Denmark's not doing that. None of Europe's doing that. China's not doing
and
that.
Denmark, and Denmark produces a lot more meat than we do as well.
Correct. So they don't have to report their methane emissions when it comes to their per capita reports.
Right. Okay.
And by the way, we're expected, everyone in the world, to buy their wind farms. But they're not reporting fully like we are.
Okay.
So it's kind of, I'd say it's really unfair, Andy.
All right. We appreciate it. Julian, thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
382 tells me the minimum wage will put us into a recession. The Isle of Man government needs to stop the employer's national insurance, as the employer already pays taxes, pays their NI pay per staff member. £50 plus per week to the government for employing them is ludicrous. The government should stop giving money out to people on the Isle of Man. Well, we're talking about benefits, are we, 382? I mean, those benefits are legitimately claimed. That's all budgeted for, and we do have a welfare state. Michael says, and it's not just about people on minimum wage, because all the wages must go up, or a school leaver will be on the same money as experienced staff. There should be gradual implementation between the ages of 18 and 21 and raising of the tax and NI thresholds rather than laying it all at the business's door. Messages. If Mr. Hooper, I found Mr. Hooper's intention to remove the bishop's vote as abhorrent, says John Christianity is under constant attack in many countries. I don't go to church, but I'm a Christian, and so are my 12 grandchildren and my whole family. Mr. Hooper wants to be elected again in Ramsey. He's basically redundant in the political field within Tynwald, as at best he could be described as a troublesome individual within. Well, there's nothing wrong with being a troublesome individual in Tynwald. Lots of politicians are troublesome individuals. But that's John's point of view regarding Laurie Hooper. Remember, Laurie Hooper topped the poll in Ramsey last time, and it's a long way to go to the election. The next Keys election is Thursday, 24th of September next year. Not long to go. Well, not long to go in political terms anyway.
Do you know, Dave, the Q-Plus counter always has just what I need. Whatever plumbing job I'm working on, whether a state-of-the-art bathroom or the latest heating system, Q-Plus always help. With extensive supplies, friendly, knowledgeable service and great prices, it really is the one-stop shop for trade and DIY customers alike. And if they don't have what you want in stock, they'll find it for you. See for yourself. Just take a look at Q-Plus on Facebook.
November is Will Writing Month, and Callan Wild has teamed up with Site Matters to make a real difference. In November, you can have your will professionally written at a reduced rate, with a single will £200 plus VAT and a joint will £300 plus VAT, with £100 going directly to support the work of Site Matters. It's a simple way to plan for the future while helping others today. Call Callan Wild on 623 195 and claim your will writing with Site Matters.
Mrs. Claus here. As Santa's busy, I'm going to decorate the grotto ready for Christmas. And I hear that Ramsey Garden Centre is full of festive goodies, decorations, lights, gifts, even Christmas trees. Ramsey Garden Centre opens 7 days a week on Albert Road.
Darker days and damper conditions require more action. Make sure you carry out your vehicle safety checks this winter. Think powders. P, petrol and diesel. O, oil. W, water. D, damage. E, electrics. R, rubber. S, self.
Make sure your lights are all working too. Brought to you by Quayside Tyres in conjunction with Isle of Man Road Safety.
This Tuesday here on Manx Road at 5.30, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I catch up with Debbie Kringle to talk about a really special wedding dress exhibition that's coming up in Ballabeg.
And I continue my conversation with farmer and well-known person in the agricultural world, John Quayle. And this week I chat about his involvement in the Royal Manx Agricultural Society show and also the Fur and Feather.
That's all in Countryside Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 5.30. And don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 26 minutes before one. Oh, just a quick word about this year's Manx Language Festival. The Cooch is getting underway Wednesday the 5th, this coming Wednesday, to Saturday the 9th. It's on the Cooch as the annual Manx Language Festival. Been running since, is it really 30 years on, since 1995. Cooch, of course, is basically, a Cooch is a chat, a get-together. Now, events and projects are being organised by the community and the programmes pulled together by the Manx Language Development Officer for Culture Vanin. Anybody can organise or participate in an event regardless of the level of Manx. Everybody is more than welcome. So the Cooch is on from this coming Wednesday. Having the bishops vote, says Margaret, gives a useful moral side to debates within LegCo. Withdrawing the bishop if they don't get a vote, I think, is basically blackmail by the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's your But never mind. Bishops are there to guide the religious who follow their particular religion. They're not there as a politician. I have no idea why they were ever involved in politics, says H. Well, 768, they've been there for years. I mean, not just years, hundreds of years. So, pardon me, but you need to look at your history a bit more. And also, the bishop has said in the past, they're there not to to represent one religion, but to represent all faiths. They are a religious totem pole, as it were, for within there. Trish the Bish had said that very often. If there ever was a filibuster, this is it. So much time has been used in Keys on this question. Add up the cost per hour per Keys member at the proposed new minimum wage. It will be horrific. Should be banned, says 713. Well, Mr. Hooper brought it up. Is the 2018 baseline irrelevant? You'll have to give me a bit more on that, 963. There's lots of words, but they don't all mean something. Tell me all about it, 963. What is the baseline? Regarding net zero, says 068, it's all bonkers. That's an opinion, by the way. Governments make and repeal laws all the time. This is not set in stone forever. This net zero nonsense, it's an opinion, can be overthrown, says 068. There are other opinions. As elections approach, I do hope that renewable energy projects move beyond planning and into re-election. No matter who's in charge after the election, we owe it to our children's future to make real progress on sustainability. So John says he's a concerned environmentally minded citizen, says we should basically get renewable energy projects started, reading between the lines, unless the future administration wants to change them. Okay, that's the point of view. I don't usually complain about the DOI, but could they please get the road sweeper out in Ramsey, especially around the Grove Museum, and remind for all drivers to take care. Of course, there are lots of children out today. Actually, there were lots of children up on Douglas Head earlier on in high-vis vests. First day back at school and all that. Not long until Christmas. The best part of the Isle of Man is how safe we are, so let's enjoy that fact, says Alan. Now, regarding the Chamber of Commerce and what they're saying to the government regarding the financial plan for the future, the Chamber of Commerce says attempts to strengthen the economy will not work if one area of government is making progress but leaving the rest behind. Chamber of Commerce warns that a lot has happened globally and technologically since government published the economic strategy in 2022. The president of the Chamber of Commerce is Claire Watterson.
It's the delivery of the strategy. The strategy is now coming up to, I think it's 4 years old. It was very forward-thinking when it came out. There's been a lot of change in those 4 years, globally, technologically, and we need to have that built into any strategy that is forward thinking and that we are going to bring in to solve these problems. It's looking at how that strategy has moved forward, who is taking ownership, who is collaborating with that strategy. It's having one person overseeing everything to make sure that each of the departments are moving forward in the same trajectory, that you're not working in the siloed, historically siloed systems.
And when you say one person, you mean one person in government, I presume?
It's the government strategy. Yeah, they need to have somebody who takes ownership of this document. And there, as I've just said, there has been a significant amount of change since that strategy came out. It will likely look rather different now as these areas are re-examined. But it needs to be a coordinated effort. It's not going to work if one area of government is moving forward and leaving the rest behind. This is a whole island economy and infrastructure change that is needed to drive the Isle of Man economy forward and springboard into what good looks like for the Isle of Man for the future.
And that was Claire Watterson talking about the financial plan and what's going to happen in the future. Well, of course we don't know, because it's the future. Yeah, but it just highlights the fact how much times have changed. Back, 25 years ago, 27 years ago, when I started doing Man in Line in 1998, the island, it's fair to say, was awash with money. That the infrastructure was being renewed, and a good job too. A lot of the infrastructure needed renewing. Lots of money was spent, millions of pounds spent on renewing infrastructure, the Irish system, the new gas pipeline that came in around Peel that is now running the gas power station. Remember, we had the old chugger, the diesel power station that was there. You couldn't move for infrastructure, could you? The energy from waste plant was being built. The new hospital was being built. And there was an awful lot of money. How times change. Maybe we just had a generation of politicians who knew how to spend money, but don't know how to make it. Well, we have to find some politicians who know how to make money, because our economy has to thrive. Otherwise, we go backwards. We live in a global village. Lots of our infrastructure, lots of things like e-gaming, could go at any point. There are jurisdictions around the world that are hell-bent on becoming the world centre for e-gaming, and they'll be eating our lunch. So the government has a lot on its plate. The government has to do this, and this is why Mr. Cannon, you've heard Mr. Cannon's mantra many, many times, economic growth. If we don't have economic growth, then we go backwards. If we go backwards, the money eventually will run out. The crunch will come. And there's no point moaning about it. We could moan until the cows come home. Something has to be done about it. And if somebody has the bright idea, if you've got the answer, by all means do get in touch. Oh, by the way, says 807, I've heard it's actually £100 to have your meter read by the MUA. Is it true? Can we have an official word? How much is it? If you don't have a smart meter, how much is it to get your meter read by the MUA? It can't be £100, surely. It wouldn't be £100, would it, to do that? I've heard various figures. How are they going to build new houses and where? Well, they can't refurbish what we've already got, says Tam in Williston. Well, Williston's going to get a real makeover, isn't it, in the future? An absolute makeover. Slight change of subject regarding the steam packet crossing last Sunday. If anything positive can come from that horrendous crossing last Sunday, a week ago yesterday, it will be ensuring that passengers are fully aware of the consequences and risks when boarding the boat. From my own market research, this is WhatsApper 282, people generally understand that if another vehicle causes damage to your car, it's your responsibility. But very few realise that if severe weather causes damage, they're still not covered. Just be well informed regarding this. Thank you for that. Lots of people are just getting over a week last Sunday, apparently. It was. I shouldn't laugh, but everybody's got a story, haven't they? Whenever you talk about a bad sailing story, somebody's always got one worst. The Manx meter man's job, she was billed for the call out. £40, apparently, that. £40 a few years ago. Was that right? So how much is it then? Please, somebody, MUA are listening, tell us. If you don't want a smart meter, how much does it cost for the meter person to come and read your meter?
Dreaming of a winter sun holiday without the stress of a connecting flight? Swap low temperatures and grey skies for wall-to-wall sunshine with direct flights to Tenerife from Ronald's Way, departing from November to February, including Christmas and New Year departures. Flights start from just £499 per person return, and there are child discounts of up to £200 on all flights, even the school holidays. No stress, no stops, and more time to unwind. Visit flydirect.co.uk to book now.
Need help with your business finances? Nicola Bowker & Co. has helped hundreds of businesses achieve a firm financial footing. Here to guide you to financial success. Contact Nicola Bowker, accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
Manx Solar Electrical offer wise solar and heating solutions for home and business. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in solar panels, Tesla battery storage and energy efficient heat pumps, helping you power your home sustainably and save money. Call 665800 or visit manxsolarelectrical.com.
Come to Manx Solar Electrical.
Our island's energy reimagined.
When you want the best.
Get ready for a phantasmagorical adventure. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at the Gaiety Theatre November the 15th to the 22nd. This favourite uplifting traditional musical is jam-packed with memorable songs and great dance numbers, a treat for all the family. featuring a fantastic, talented cast and chorus, and of course a spectacular flying car. The Christine Wild Theatre School and Rachel Wild's Performance Studios, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Contact villagaiety.com or call the box office on 600555 to book your tickets now. Supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 charity of the week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Well, fast to my good afternoon. Only Julie Edge and Anne Corlett have ever run a small business in hospitality on the Isle of Man. Well, the people in Keys, you mean. This is why they voted the way they did on the minimum wage, yet we seem to have 24 experts. Asked Ewan Watterson how his plan to save the southern swimming pool has gone. Says Beanie. Well, we will, 384 Beanie. Thank you for that message. And H says something being historical doesn't make it right or suitable for today's society. Women used to be seen as men's chattels. Well, they are in some cultures even still. There are other historical things that aren't suitable for modern society. Religious figures in politics have historically caused huge problems, unrest and bloodshed. This is H768, who doesn't want the bishop in. So are you saying the bishop has caused huge problems, unrest and bloodshed? Are you conflating two different things? Because I'm not aware that the bishop in Manx politics has ever caused huge problems, unrest and bloodshed. I mean, I think what you're trying to say is you don't want the bishop in Tynwald, is that right? Eddie's on now. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, how are you doing, Andy? All right,
well,
mate?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, good.
Good. Got a bad voice today again, I'm afraid. Just a suggestion on the meter reading, really. I mean, it's a small island, isn't it? And I know most of the meter readers anyway, personally. And I've trusted whatever they read for me for years. But I haven't got a clue how to do it all. But I believe all you've got to do is go over and take the number off it and phone it through. So would I be allowed to just phone it through to them?
Not forever, because ever that would be a customer meter reading. At some point, I think at least once a year, they have to come and read it just to make sure that you're taking the right reading. You never know.
Well, I've trusted them for years, so why don't they trust me?
Well,
it's always somehow to make a little bit more money out of the customer, isn't it?
Well, they've got to make a living.
Yeah, but they've already got a living. and that the guy who used to read the meter will be out of a job, won't he? Or will they move it or create another job for him somewhere else?
Well, I'm presuming that the meter readers are going to be doing something else now, as when it all is automatic via the web or via 5G or 4G, whatever it's going to be using.
Yeah, well, why again, Andy? We hear this so often. Why are we changing what already works? It's just we've got people in government who are sat in offices who shouldn't even be paid, because all they're doing is thinking of how to do something else. Let's do something else. Leave it alone. I mean, 30 miles an hour didn't need altering. You name it, meter reading doesn't need altering. There's so many, one after the other, that doesn't even need altering. Leave the damn things alone if they work. We've got a very, very interfering, stupid government at the moment. End of story, okay?
So does that mean, to correct me then, are you getting a smart meter ready?
I've no idea. They've not been anywhere near me. I don't care what they give me, as long as I get electricity at the right time and so on.
Right, OK. All right. Thanks, Eddie.
OK, bye.
All right, it's 10 to 1.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682-631.
And back on to the economy. The Treasury and Enterprise Minister are going to face questions in the House of Keys tomorrow related to the recently approved increase in this minimum wage. Last month, Timwood approved the rise in the hourly rate from £12.25 to £13.46. So what's that? £1.20 per hour. So if somebody's doing 40 hours, it's an extra 40 to 43 quid. That's going to take effect 1st of April next year. The Julie Edge MHK, one of the Onken MHKs, has got a question for Treasury concerning a reduction in VAT in a specific sector.
Certainly we did do one in COVID. However, we do have other options and opportunities that I feel we could do. But what I want to know from the Minister is, what is the process for doing that if we were to do it? We do it in construction, so we have done it. And I believe that's under the Value Added Tax Act 1996. So I'm just really exploring.
Now, your reason for, you know, mentioning the reduction of VAT, is this to help those businesses with the current economical challenges that they're facing?
Post-COVID, I don't genuinely believe that our economy has recovered as expected. As a parliament, we should be looking at what the impact has been and how we are going to support that sector. And, you know, there is options around this, but it'll be interesting to see what the Treasury Minister's view is of what process could be put in place. I do know they would have to go to the UK, I believe, for a reduction in any sectors, but there's other opportunities outside of that. But if there is opportunity to do it, we can govern ourselves in many areas, and I think these are areas that we should be looking at. The significance of this is we need to have a full understanding of what any costs to this would be and whether there is other options around it, rather than straight away looking at VAT. You know, is there other options around employers' NI changes and things like that that could support our economy just on a short-term basis to make sure that we are moving to the wage limits that some members in Timwood are looking for. But we can't be doing that irresponsibly. We've got to look at every aspect of what the impact is going to be.
Well, you can hear all the action tomorrow on AM 1368. Keys will be on tomorrow talking about the hourly rates and whether or not we can get reductions in VAT. It all comes down to money, doesn't it? It all comes down to money in the end and how much money we earn. And remember, our economic activity will fund and raise taxes and levies that give us our social services. Without economic activity, that simply won't happen. Thank you, Hugh, who just said, we're not using 5G or anything else microwave-based. The technology for smart meters is similar to 3G in terms of data transfer, but operates at a fraction of the power. Apparently, they're transmitting using the 2.4 gigahertz license-free carrier frequency band. I have no idea what that means. Smart meters are one of the safest pieces of technology in homes. They're rigorously tested and far exceed the British, EU and world safety standard. Apparently, this is it. So it's not 5G. I do apologise for that. The extra cost for a manual reading is apparently £175.60 based on the highest standing charge of 73.2p per day, 48.1p per day higher for a basic installation. Is that so? £175.60 for this. Have you had your smart meter put in yet? Are you in with the in crowd with the new smart meters? Don't we have any men in government to tell us what's going on, or is it just women? Says Daphne. And I do wish they'd stop saying moving forward. It drives me up the wall. It's the new lingua franca, that is, isn't it? Everybody moves forward. We're moving forward. Nobody ever says we're going backwards. We move forward. This is what we do. This is along with hard working. Everybody's hard working and nobody's enthusiastic anymore. People are passionate. I'm very passionate. Do you ever notice something? Passionate was something that people used to say about other people. Now people say it about themselves. I'm very passionate. I'm very passionate about this. Not, I really like it. I'm very passionate about it. It's funny, isn't it? Over the past 20 years, things that only other people used to say about you or people, now people say about themselves. In the past, somebody would say, I'm in business. And other people would look at that person and say, oh, he's an entrepreneur, she's an entrepreneur. Now, people say, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm passionate. I'm a passionate entrepreneur. It's funny, isn't it, how language changes over the years. I'm very passionate about Man in Line. I'm more than enthusiastic. The figure of £100 plus for a reading is complete rubbish, says Dewan715. That will be true if you could tell me actually what it is. Because I've tried to vote. We tried to find out from the MUA website how much it's going to be. If you don't have a smart meter, how much are they going to... how much are they going to charge you to read your meter? And how often does it have to be taken? Or is it just a higher standing charge per day because of this? A message in from Trevor, who just said, you were saying the other day that if we think we know something is suspicious regarding the employment of somebody who may not have a work permit, or maybe here illegally, what's the number? It's Home Affairs. Intramode Road. 694-300. 694-300 is Home Affairs. If you suspect somebody is breaking immigration laws. Hey, that's it. Thanks to Chris on the phone today. Back tomorrow.
WINT.